Father in heaven, I want to thank you for honoring our efforts, Lord, to move forward on the property next door so we can increase our parking lot and also start a school and to help the Hispanic congregation. Lord, you're so good and we're so unworthy. I think of Trish's song. It was right on the money. And Lord, we thank you. You're that kind of God. For my sake, Father, I want to be a better Christian because of it. And I hope that's the prayer of each person here. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the testimony of my heart be acceptable in your sight alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The principle of service. Matthew 10:5-8. Sadie Syker, who served many years as a house parent for missionary children in the Philippines, loved books. Though she gladly loaned out some, others she treasured in her footlocker under her bed. Once, in the quiet of the night, Sadie heard a faint gnawing sound. After searching all around in the dark in her room, she discovered that the noise was coming from the footlocker. When she opened the footlocker very carefully, she found nothing but an enormous pile of dust. All the books she had kept for herself have been lost to termites. What we give away, we keep. What we hoard, we lose. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew 10, and we're going to read and discover the principle of service is found in Scripture. Matthew, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 5. Children, I want you to turn there with me, if you would. This is where Joey read the Scripture for us today. And as I read these four verses, I want you to think, what is the principle of service found here in these four verses? Okay? Everybody have Matthew? Have your Bible? All right. I just remembered something. I forgot to tell you how greatly God is blessing the meetings, didn't I? And the reason why is because I'm looking out and seeing some of the people who are coming to the meetings are here at church this morning. God is really blessing us. And we are praising Him. And for those of you who have been helping, it's been so encouraging to me and so gratifying. It's not too late to start. It's not too late to bring a friend. Monday, 7 o'clock, chapter 5, as we move through the book of Daniel. Okay, Matthew 10, ready? I can't believe I forgot that. It's been taking all my time and attention, and I just... Whew. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Friends, what is the principle of service according to the Bible? Well, okay, that was good. Somebody just said give. No, but that's close. Yeah, listen. Not even freely give. To me, the essence of the principle of service is, did you plug in the wrong one? Boy, the suspense is killing me. Well, that's... it worked somehow. Or did you just push it? Oh, why, thank you. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the principle of service. Thank you very much. Say that with me. Freely you have received, freely give. This is to be our motivation for doing what we're doing. Making the time, taking the effort, spending the money. Why? Because the Bible clearly states, freely we've received. Freely we're to give. And notice he said, go preach. I love this section, by the way, of the Bible. That happens to be an imperative. Anybody know what an imperative is? It's a what? A command, not a good suggestion. Not an idea. It's preach. And it's also heal, an imperative. Cleanse, an imperative. Raise, an imperative. Cast, an imperative. Freely you have received, freely give. But you know, I sat down and I asked myself, what in the world have I been freely given? Or, okay, I'm sorry. What have I freely received? And you know, I opened up to commentary after commentary. And by the way, these are old commentaries I open up to. And every one of them referred to, don't rip other people off for money, do ministry for free. And you know, when I read all those commentaries, and all of them implied the same thing practically, I got to thinking, that's not how I ever understood this. Freely I have received, freely give. What have I received, my friends? Number one, I have received forgiveness. Can you say amen? Amen. Freely I've received from God forgiveness, and never did I deserve it. Never did I earn it. And sometimes I received it after openly rebelling against God. This is what we really freely received, and this is what we're to give to other people. But how can we unless we come into contact with them? Please take your Bibles and turn to John 8. You all know that story. You can see it clear as crystal. But let's take a look at it from her point of view. And when I read this last night in The Desire of Ages, I cried, folks. I cried. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, verse 2 of John 8. All the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Master? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stood down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then again he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus has raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to the woman, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, No one, Lord. And He said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, friends, you read the story with me. It is very clear. They hauled her in front of Jesus with all the dignitaries and all the worshipers in the temple. And they said, "We caught her in the very act. I wonder how she was dressed." And if that wasn't enough humiliation, they throw her at His feet in front of the whole crowd. And this woman was guilty. But Jesus took care of it. He dispatched the whole crew by writing the sins in the dirt. And one by one, as the eldest to the youngest saw their sin there listed in the dirt, they decided they better split. And then Jesus said the greatest words that could be uttered to humankind, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and stop sinning." And here's what the Desire of Ages says. Her heart was melted, and she cast herself at his feet, the feet of Jesus, sobbing out her grateful love and with bitter tears confessing her sin. And notice, Jesus cleared the room before that took place. He did not treat her the way she deserved. And so, what is the principle of our service? Oh, by the way, I had to drag the men into this. You all know the story of the paralytic. It's very clear in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy that his own sins caused his malady. And when they dropped him down in the midst of Jesus, he looked at that man and he said to him, do you remember what he said to him? Remember what he said to him? He said, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." Now here he is, total unable to walk or move. Friends had to drop him down out of the roof on a bed because he can't move. He's paralyzed. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then again, we address this occurrence in the Desire of Ages. O wondrous love of Christ, stooping to heal the guilty and the afflicted, divinely sorrowing over and soothing the illness of suffering humanity. O marvelous power thus displayed to the children of men. Brothers and sisters, we do what we do because the principle of service is: freely you have received, freely give. That's what this principle stands for. That we have a gift that this world needs, that far goes beyond money. And that is peace of mind, hope and help, in spite of circumstances surrounding their lives. And I love these two stories because, again, if you read the Desire of Ages closely in the paralytic, it says he leaned back in that bed and he thought, "You couldn't have said better words to me than that And that's when Jesus said, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Freely you have received. Come on. Freely give. Number two, we have received mercy. Take a look at the beautiful story that Jesus told about the Samaritan as found in Luke 10, not John 10. Luke, the 10th chapter. Everybody turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. We have received forgiveness. We have received mercy. Do you have Luke, the 10th chapter? Let's look at verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he had arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he what? He had compassion on him. And so he went to him and he bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine. He set him on his own animal. He brought him into the inn and he took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him this, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer who was urged on by the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders in this public place trying to trap Jesus by this question, timidly looked at Jesus and said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And the reason for that is, freely we have received, freely give. And then number three, we have received sacrificially. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now there could not be in the Bible a greater contrasting statement than this one. And as soon as we read it, you'll see what we mean. We have received sacrificially. Verse 21. For he, the Father, made him, who's him? Jesus, who knew no sin, to be what? To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Folks, the absolute opposition of righteousness is sin. Jesus was righteous. The Bible said he became what? Sin. Can you imagine the sacrifice that Jesus made in being identified with sin, much less the physical torture of beating and crucifixion? It takes sacrifice to do these things. And we do them because Jesus did it. Therefore, we sacrificially give our what? Our and our Those three things. And by the way, we don't get to pick or choose which one we give. We're required to give all three when the opportunity avails itself. Boy, you should read what it says in the Spirit of Prophecy about time. It actually says that of these three, the one that God holds the highest regard for is how we spend our time. And we do it because we have received forgiveness. We have received mercy. We have received a sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And because we have freely received, we're to freely give. That's why we do what we do. Folks, let me put a plug in here and illustrate just in a minor way. You know, one of the ministries this church has, which perhaps is the least glamorous, is the Sunshine Band singers. That two or three Sabbath afternoons a month go and sing to the adult nursing homes. And we are having fewer and fewer people going. And folks, have you ever put yourself in the wheelchair there, humped over like this, and imagine how they felt when you came to sing to them? Especially, by the way, when little children are there. They're like this. And we give of our time, and we give of our talent, and we give of our money sacrificially. Why? Because we freely have received sacrifice from Jesus. And so in kind, we respond to folks who aren't able or have the liberties that you and I have or the understanding of what God has done for us. And so, it says, in Desire of Ages, unless there is a practical self-sacrifice for the good of others, and I left out a whole bunch of things. It says in the city, in the street, in the community, in the family, in the church, da, 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 then whatever our profession we are, we're not Christian. We're not Christian. So because I love you, I'm talking to a specific group. If you're one of those that come to church on Sabbath and never darken the door any other time of the week, I beg you to understand you're not being nurtured or grown enough. Because our time and our talent and our money belong to God, not to us. And freely we have received forgiveness, freely we have received mercy, and freely we have received the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ, and we return in kind. I couldn't believe it when I found this quote in Desire of Ages. And folks, what a beautiful book. What an incredible book. By the way, if there's anybody in this congregation today that does not have the book of Desire of Ages, by the way, that's the life of Christ from His birth to His death, then you better see me, one of the elders, before you leave so we can get you a copy. Unless there is practical self-sacrifice for the good of others, ... we are not Christian. And so, we're told in Desire of Ages, freely we have received, freely give. Sin is the greatest of all evils, and it is ours to pity and to help the sinner. There are many who err and who feel their shame and their folly. They are hungry for words of encouragement. They look upon their mistakes and their errors until they are driven almost to desperation. These souls, we are not to neglect. If we are Christian, we shall not pass by on the other side, keeping as far away as possible from the very ones who most need our help. Freely we have received, freely give. Well, I guess I had that twice. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demands his execution. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I asked for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. My friends, freely you have received, freely give. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for digging into our hearts and minds very deeply this Sabbath, because your love for us is eternal. And I pray that each heart and mind be encouraged, that it's a challenge, not a condemnation. And that we would rise to the occasion and be more like Jesus and less like us. That we would literally be consciously aware as we pass by every day individuals we see. Should we say something to them? Do they need some encouragement? And then we would have the spiritual tone and eyesight to do just that. Lord, bless each one in this congregation, that we may be more faithful to you, which will bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, may I publicly proclaim our gratitude for you moving on the hearts and minds of different individuals, including many visitors who were so impressed that they gave money towards our property next door. And Lord, I also want to thank you for the way you are blessing, unsealing Daniel's mysteries. We don't deserve it, but we want, Lord, to show our appreciation so it continues. So pour out your Spirit, bless each person now, and thank you for hearing and answering, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls, dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.